One of the things that we've been doing with this series, this is series part number 7, and we know that they're a little long, and if you need to leave, why, we understand, and just excuse yourself quietly and go, but I hope and pray that you can stick around for the whole thing, because as we learn about things and learn about growing pains and about growing, especially spiritual growth, it's not easy, but it's worth the effort. The 7th Beatitude says, yield yourself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and my words. So this message I want to share this morning, it's probably one of the most important messages in this whole series, although they're all important. And it's on how to keep on growing your entire life. Now, some of us get growing physically, and we keep growing, and I hope to pray that I'll reach my growth point physically. But spiritually, we're still growing. And we need to keep perspective in life, because life is not a 50-yard dash, it's a marathon. The Bible says in 2 John chapter 1, verse 8, watch out that you do not lose what you've worked for. And that's my prayer for all of us as your pastor and somebody who loves you and cares for you very much. I don't want you to lose what you've already gained in your spiritual life. But you need to watch out that you don't lose what you've worked for, because you will be rewarded fully if you keep on this path. And if you've ever been to a marathon race, you know that there's a crowd at the start, but it thins out by the end. A lot of people start out that way in life, and then they flame out or fizzle out, and they never finish the race. And if you go to a marathon, and at the starting point, everybody looks good. They got a fresh jersey on. Their numbers are pinned on. And they got new shoes, and they're standing over there getting ready to do the marathon, and everybody looks great. But at the end of that marathon, it's a different story. People are straggling across the line, sweaty. They smell. They're dirty. They maybe even got a sunburn, and their number is torn or fallen off. It's a totally different picture at the finish line than it was at the starting line. So if you don't get the gold medal for starting the race, you only get the gold medal when you finish the race. And I, as your pastor, want to help you to be able to finish the race. Here at Bethel, over the past few years, I have only been here 6-7 months, but over the past few years, and we've been looking at demographics and looking at old albums and so forth, and if you look around the church this morning, you'll notice that the membership has changed. But here's the little fact that most people don't know. About 15% of Americans move every year. Now, that's not the only reason that the membership has changed, but a lot of people still live in this area. As we were looking at the demographics and things that Tina and Travis wants to do, not only with the youth, but to ever to reach out to the folks who have drifted away, especially right around our community. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, about growth choice. This is the 7th choice in this series that we were doing. It's the growth choice. And if we just take a minute, there in your outline, you'll see it at the very top. Just a statement. I reserve a daily time with God for Bible reading, self-examination, prayer, in order to know God and His will for my life and gain the power to follow His will. Spiritual growth is a choice. Spiritual growth is also intentional. Are you going to be more intentional about your spiritual growth this year than maybe last year? Say like next February? You say, well, I don't know. If you say that I don't know, then you probably won't, because growth is intentional. And you may choose to say, well, I'm not going to be this way next year. I'm going to be different next year. I'm going to have to let some of those spiritual things pass. I'm going to have to let go of some of these persistent sins, and I'm going to let go of some of those personal weaknesses, and I'm going to be better than I was last year. And I hope so. but it's your choice. The verses that we're going to look at today are all growing choices. And all the verses we're going to look at has the word continue in them because it's about continual growth. Growth is always growing because you're not dying. And when we finish this life, we will go to a new life. We go from life to life. We pass through this thing called death, but we pass from life to life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today we're going to look at how to grow, how to maintain the momentum that you've started. How do I keep on keeping on, for a lack of a better term? How do I maintain my momentum? How do I complete the course and finish the race and get that gold medal? The Bible tells us there's seven things that we need to do. And the first thing, and your outline there, if you want to write in there, we need to fix a daily time with God. Fix or set a daily time with God. That means you got to nail it down. You got to drive a stake in the ground. It's got to be your starting point. You say, I'm going to keep on doing this, and I'm going to have a date with Jesus every day. We grow grapes in this area. I didn't realize how many grapes and people that grow grapes in our area. When I first came to Wasison, Miss Reed had a grape up there. She was Judy's song teacher, choir director, friend, whatever, mentor for all the years. And she had these grapes up there, and they were called, what, Stepanons or something? Huh? Yeah, they good. Any of you eat those? Well, there's even a wine place in Monticello that makes wine out of them. And so grapes are really something. But if you look at those grapes and you pull those grapes off of the vine and you don't use them, you don't eat them, you don't make wine, they will wither up and dry off. It's just sort of like what Jesus said, that I am the vine and you are the branch. And if you cannot bear fruit, you're apart from me. And you can't bear fruit unless you're connected with the vine. It's like having a blender in your kitchen, and you can put stuff in that blender, and you can push all that buttons, and you can do anything you want. Nothing happens until you connect the power. That's the way life is. You got to have power. Where do you get that power? You get it from the Holy Spirit. But a little more practical purposes. If you don't spend time with your husband or your wife or your very good friends in this life, you're going to become disconnected. Judy and I have discovered this, and especially if we realize that if we don't get to spend quality time together, we feel distant. We start feeling disconnected. We don't feel close. We don't feel intimate. If your marriage or your relationship with a good friend is like that, you're drying up, you got to do what you did when you fell in love. That's the most important thing. When you were dating, what did you do? How did you fall in love? Those are things that you need to really focus on. You need to have a date with your mate. We don't do it as often as we should. We usually would set aside Friday night and we would have a date. We'd go to the movie or go to dinner, and we would intentionally try to spend some time together, some quality time. And I tell you all that because it's also true with your relationship with God. You got to spend time with God in order to be close to Him, in order to feel His love, to sense His presence in your life. The Bible says this, now, dear children, continue, notice that word continue, and you want to circle that word in those scriptures that I laid out there, if you continue in fellowship with Christ. And I want to tell you something personally as your pastor who has been walking, excuse me, as a born-again Christian now for 30 years, because I spent a lot of my years not born. It was the hardest thing to continue to do that on a daily basis with God because everything fights against you. You set time that you want to do your devotion. The next thing you know, the phone rings or this happens or that happens, and you're torn. Even as a pastor, it's so hard to intentionally make sure that I do my devotion time and preparation time for sharing God's word with you. It's so important because the devil don't care. He'd rather you get this, you know, distracted and not do what you're supposed to do. Because you weren't put on this planet to do to-do lists. God didn't create you to have a bunch of activities. God created you so that you could know Him, love Him, and that you can love Him back. And it's just one of those reciprocal types of love. If you're not spending time knowing God, you're missing the number one purpose in life. And Satan doesn't care about all the good things that you do, because it is the number one connection to have a connection with God. So if you're not having a regular meeting with God, you're entirely too busy. It's just that simple. But why does Satan fight us on this? Because it gives you the power if you spend time with God. The Bible says in 1 John 3:6, everyone who lives in union with Christ does not continue in sin. Think about that. Everyone who is union with Christ don't continue to sin. What's that mean? It means that you're connected with Christ. He gives you the power, the ability, the effort, and the desire, and everything that you knew you need to do what's not wrong, but to do what's right. You don't want to do the wrong things. You want to do the right things. And the reason that I keep falling into persistent sins and weaknesses sometimes, and some of the past things that I've experienced, is because I don't spend time with God. And then Satan will kind of creep in and play tricks on your mind. He can't read your mind, but he can certainly play tricks on your mind. The Bible says, continue praying, keeping alert, and always thanking God. So what's it mean to continually to pray? It means that you don't just do it in your quiet time, although it's important. You talk to God all the time, all day long. You don't have to use a bunch of these and thous and fancy words. You just need to open up and talk to God just like you and I are talking here this morning. In fact, I can talk to you now, and I can talk to God at the same time. And you say, ooh, wait a minute, preacher, how can you do that? Well, it's easy, because I'm talking to you, and all the way in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I hope and pray that I can get this service to come out good. And I'm talking to Him, help me, Lord, and I'm talking to you at the same time. And His Holy Spirit is guiding me and strengthening me. Sometimes when I greet people, either on the porch or at the back door, and they're talking to me, and I'm listening, and I'm saying, I wonder what God would have me say to that person. And I think, you know, I don't have the slightest idea. They think I'm smart, but I'm not. And all I need, Lord, is your help right now in order to give them some wisdom. Not my wisdom, but your wisdom. Because I haven't the foggiest idea what to tell them about their problem. And so I can talk to God and talk to you at the same time. I'm saying, Lord, give me the next thing to say when you're sharing with folks. You just need to talk to God. No big deal. He's my best friend, and He should be your best friend. And I talked to Him for many, many, many years. Even when I was a heathen, a real heathen, I didn't know why I was talking to Him, but I was talking to Him. You know, He listened to me, even when I was a heathen. And then when I started my relationship with Him, and I could see how He was working in my life, I knew what He was sharing with me was a word from Him. And the second thing there, if you're going to keep on making it to the finish line, you got to fill your mind with the Scripture. That's the number two part. Fill your mind with the Scripture. You know, if you go without eating physical food, you'll start feeling weak. And you'll go a little bit longer. Your mind starts to get groggy. You go a little longer, you start feeling cranky. I know when we're traveling, this is true, because I have a tendency not to stop to get something to eat once in a while. And Jesus says, you know, I'm hungry, it's time to eat, And I keep on driving. She says, it's time to eat. And she starts getting cranky. Excuse me, I get rid of that phlegm. I know it's time to stop. Well, the same thing is true with God's Word. This is soul food that you take spiritually. It's what the Bible says, that man or people should not live by food alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. And it's necessary for your soul to be fed, just like it's necessary for your body to be fed. So if you start feeling lethargic, or it's either physical. We have a little thing in the AA program that says halt. When you start getting that way, you're either hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. You think about that. So when your life starts to get unmanageable, just say, halt, What's going on in my life? I'm either hungry, I'm either angry, I'm either lonely or tired. But you say, well, excuse me, I don't know why I got that this morning. But you say, preacher, I come to church every Sunday. It's like having gone to a banquet every Sunday and then fast the rest of the week. If you only put in spiritual input in your life during church and you don't do it any other time of the week, you're going to get groggy. You're going to get spiritually cranky. You got to have the Word of God in your heart. This is one of the best ways, this one in the upper room, these little booklets, carry it with you. Keep it in your purse or your hip pocket, you know, and you start getting, and it's amazing. You just flip it over to anyone. And there's something amazing about God's Word, how God's Word will give you the spiritual food that you need. Computer experts have a term for this. They call it Geico or Geico, however you say it, right? Garbage in, garbage out. Think about that. So if you're putting all this garbage from the world in, you're going to get garbage out. You've got to have that balance. So the same is true with your heart and mind. You put garbage in your mind, and believe me, there's plenty of that out there. Garbage is you can put in your mind. It's like stuffing it in there. There's a lot of stuff that you can fill your mind with. It's sort of like poison. It's like violence and pornography, all kinds of evil things out there that you can put in your brain that develops your mind, or you can put the Word of God in your brain. I don't know how many of you believe everything that's on television or believe everything that's in the news. I certainly don't. I don't even believe a lot of things that I read in the newspapers and stuff anymore. You can't trust any of that stuff. The New York Times, on their weekend edition, if you look at that little insert that's in there, there's people that get into the habit of sitting down every Sunday and reading that. There is more words in that than there is in the Word of God. But they never take the Bible, especially the New Testament. They'll take the paper and read it from cover to cover. Never take the New Testament and read it cover to cover. There was a little Bible that I had used early on in my spiritual life, and it was how you could read the Bible in 1 year. And it was put together sort of like a novel. And it just, you could read right on through it. It wasn't very long. It took 10, 15 minutes a day to read it. You got to fill your mind with the Word of God to be happy. And I think everybody, is there anybody here that don't want to be happy? I don't think so. Everybody wants to be happy. So you got to fill your mind with the Word of God. In James chapter 1, verse 25, it says, the truly happy people are those who carefully study God's Word, God's perfect law that makes people free, and they continue, there's that continue again, to study it. And they don't forget what they heard, but they obey what God is teaching them. Several verbs in that. Circle the word study, circle the word obey, circle the phrase not forget, circle the word hear, circle the word continue. And that is the secret of happiness. The Bible says that in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All the things that you do relates to in the Word of God. And that's what it means to fill your mind with good things from the Word of God. So what's the result of filling your mind with the Word of God? Two things. Jesus said, if you continue, there's that word continue again, which is the growth choice. If you choose to continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and it proves that you're a believer. It proves that you're going to heaven, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you experience freedom in your heart, and you experience the freedom of going to heaven. But, there's always a but. Inside your mind, there's a scale. Negative thoughts, positive thoughts. I always think about the scale of justice, you know, where you have this. But you know what you can do with that scale sometimes, and that's what the devil does, because you got negative thoughts and positive thoughts, and you put them on that scale, and they balanced out a little bit. I think he takes his thumb on that scale and pushes it a little bit on his side. I really do. But inside your mind, these negative thoughts and these positive thoughts, the evil thoughts and the good thoughts, you put them together, and if they were on a scale, what would win? The negative thoughts or the positive thoughts? If you let the negative thoughts win, it's called depression. So where do these thoughts come from? Well, a lot of them come from ourselves. And you're telling yourself all the time, well, I'm not good, I can't do that, it'll never happen to me, I'm lousy, I'm a failure, I can't do that. You talk yourself all the time. You're your biggest critic. That's one of the reasons that I talk to myself and answer myself, because I want to get the answer that I want or need. So if I talk to myself and I answer myself, that works out pretty good. Not really. You need to be able to have that balance with the Word of God. Because when you get all that stuff in your mind that's out there in this world, and you turn on the radio and you got newspapers and you got people at work and just so much of it, you get depressed. So how do you get out of depression? Well, one of the ways, I think, you got to tip the scale in the other direction. You got to have more positive thoughts. You got to have more truth. That Jesus said the truth will set you free, not the lies. And you got to get more of the truth. So every time you get a thought, like an electrical current that goes through your brain, if you think thought enough about that, it develops some kind of things. If you got these negative and da-da-da, and you get a rut. You ever get in a rut? So how do you get out of it? I'm going to get married, you think. Well, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. The only way to change this mental pattern in your mind is what the Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you get out of depression. How to renew your mind? Put more positive things than negative things in your mind. Get the scale tilted towards you and not towards the devil. You got to get rid of that negativism. If you're feeling down and depressed and discouraged, you need to start putting the Word of God in your mind. What I did when I read through the Scriptures over and over, particularly in the Psalms, underlined, especially in some of the modern translations, some little parts of those Scriptures that kind of relate to you a little bit, write them down on a 3x5 card or put them someplace and just think about them, little sticky notes. Over the year, I found by reading through that Bible, that little Bible that I had that you could read through the year in 1 year, had transformed my mind. Oh, I still had thoughts and crazy thoughts and things that kind of creeping in. But every time I did, then I had a positive thought that I was able to get from my memory bank in my little brain, and I could bring them up there and balance those things out. And the more that you put in there, and then the more that you will change it. And all of a sudden, you're getting new creativity, new thoughts about life. And you're thinking, the rest of your life is not going to be so bad because the rest of my life will be the best part of my life as you continue to grow in grace. Until you do that, you're going to get stuck over and over on the depressive side. The third thing you need to do on this growing choice is to keep a focus on your goal, not your habit. Keep a focus on your goal, not your habit. That's why we call this hurts, hang-ups, and habits, because we all have them. We all have hurts, we all have hang-ups, and I certainly got a lot of habits, and I would venture to say that most of you have those too. Why say habit when we talk about hurts, hang-ups, and habits? They're weaknesses, they're failures. The things in your life that you don't like. So what am I saying? If you want to grow, have focus on what you want. Not on what you need, but on what you want. Why is it so important? Because God designed the universe. The one of the laws of the universe is the law of attention. And the law of attention states that whatever you focus on, whatever your attention is drawn to, whatever attracts you, it pulls you. It's a natural thing that you focus on that. I don't have a fear of heights, but I don't like heights. Have you ever stood on a cliff or go up on a tall building like the Empire State Building and look over? You know, all of a sudden you feel drawn. Obviously, you don't move towards things that don't have your attention. then you need to choose to make your attention towards good things, not bad things. You got to change your mind. As I said, the devil can't read your mind, but he can certainly play tricks on it. But God knows your mind, and he can give you the things that you need in order to keep you on the straight and narrow. When I was a little kid, my mom used to bake pies. Apple pies, coconut custard pies. And we didn't have air conditioning and all that stuff when I was growing up. And I'd be outside playing or something, and I always knew when she was making pies so I could smell them. Because she would take them and set them on the windowsill to cool. I can't tell you how many times that I went into the kitchen and there was a hot apple pie or some other kind of pie. And then I get married. And Judy makes cookies. I don't know if she knows this or not, but it's one way to get me out of the office. Because when she makes them cookies, I can smell that stuff. So I go wandering into the house. And she'll, get out of that! I said, well, I was just looking at it. I didn't really want any of it. I just looking at it. And then the other week, she made these little crackers, cookies. And they're two Ritz crackers. And you put peanut butter on them. And you dunk them in the hot chocolate. They are so good. And she lined them all up on the table to cool. And she wouldn't let me have one. Get out of those. Those are for... I think she was taking them to a family reunion or something. I didn't get any. I said, well, no, I wasn't really. I just, you know, maybe if I could just put my finger around the bowl and get some of that chocolate. But it was drawn to me. And I can remember today hearing my mom when she knew that I was out there. But gee, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just looking, Mom. I'm just waiting for your dinner time. Yeah, right. That's one of the reasons that I like the Celebrate Recovery program. All the other 12-step programs, they're great, and they all work. Believe me, they all work. But Celebrate Recovery is allowing you to look forward in your growth process. You could go to a counselor or two or spend 2 or 3 years wallowing around in your past, moaning and groaning, being on your pity pot. But the past is the past. You are not the past. Your past influences doesn't define you and what you are today. The past is over. What matters today is not the past. And I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what you did, none of that, it doesn't matter. God said he put our past in the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. Now, he does let us go and get them out if we're going to use them for his glory. But then as soon as we're done sharing faith and hope with somebody, he lets us put them right back, gone forever. So stop focusing on your past. That's part of this growth thing. It's not going to change. It's done. The past is over. That's the old way. So what do? You focus on your gold, not your habits. That's why diets don't work. Boy, how much I know about that. You want a diet? I got a whole bunch of them. I give you 2 or 3, 4 dozen books on diets. They didn't work for me. You know why they didn't work? I didn't follow them. I lost my focus on what I was doing. When we done this Wesley Covenant service at the end of the year, the beginning of the year, where it says on the back, you know, make a gold and so forth, then sign it and put it. I got it right where we do our devotions, and I look at it every day. And you can tell it's 30 days, 40 days into it, and I'm not doing so good. But I'm going to focus on that. What's my goal? That's what I'm going to do. Because it's not easy. No, I'm not saying it is. But you got to have faith. And I don't know if it's an acronym or if it's an acrostic or whatever, but if you take the word faith and you just put the letters, you know, out here on the side and just write some things about faith. The F, it's focused. That means it's terrific. It's not vague. It's not general. It's not just a desire or a wish. Faith is a goal because it's focus. And you got to be very specific about it if you want to accomplish that. If you use the word more or less, then it's not a focused goal. And I want to be more like Jesus. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be impatient. And it just goes on and on. Focus on that F in the word faith. And then you take and you look at the letter A. It's attainable. A faith goal is attainable. And if you get an unrealistic goal, it's going to discourage you. If you say, no, I'm going to pray 3 hours a day and you don't do it, no, don't worry about it. It's attainable. You can do it. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And then the I is individual. A faith goal is an individual goal. My goal is not your goal, and your goal is not my goal. It's an individual goal. You can't set goals for your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You can only set goals for yourself. You can have a family goal, and you can do some of these things that are good, but the only goal that you can set is for yourself. And then the T is trackable. A faith goal is trackable. It means that you can measure it. You can verify it. You set the date every day, or you set a date to accomplish this or everything else. You can track it. You can see where you're going. And then the H, it's got to be heartfelt. It's got to be heartfelt. If you don't feel it, don't set it. That's what checking your gut, or a lot of people say, you know, I know because it's a gut feeling. Well, it's not a gut feeling. It's the Lord giving you that heartfelt direction. Nothing is accomplished without passion. That's why we call it the passion of Christ. He accomplished the goal of reconciling the world to himself by taking all the sins to the cross of Calvary. Passion. So I want to encourage you to set some spiritual goals in your life. And say, well, you want to do it by Christmas. I want to get this thing done by the next time we do the Wesley Covenant Renewal Service, because it's a long way. So I keep focusing on it. But I know it's attainable because I've done it before. I want to explain to you, though, that spiritual growth is not an unbroken string of successes. Nobody goes through life with the unbroken string of successes, with no struggle, without suffering sin or the consequences. It just doesn't happen. Growth is a curvy word. The road to recovery is jagged. The road to recovery is a lot of twists and turns. The road to health and wholeness and spiritual maturity often means 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, forward, back, sideways, relapse. It's all part of the process. You need to understand that relapse is something that happens. And I'm not going to go in detail about that, because that covers a whole lot of things that if you have an accountability partner or a prayer partner, or you're involved in a small group or something like that, when you have a relapse, that's where you go. You go and you pour your heart out with somebody who loves you and understands you and that you can trust. And Bible study is also a good way to come together with a small group. And hopefully in the near future we can get out into some areas that we can be doing some of these things together. Relapse is when you fall back in an area of your life that you used to be in and you got out of, and then you fall back. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have victory over it again ever. You can have victory over it again. And there's an unlikely chance that you will never be tempted again in your whole life. Jesus, the most perfect human being that ever walked the face of this earth, even though he didn't give in to it, he was tempted. The devil had him out in the deserts for 40 days and tempted him and tempted him and tempted him. So you get a person that says, well, I am good now. I haven't been tempted in 20 years. They are telling you, that's a lie. We've all been tempted, and we continue to be tempted. If you're naturally tempted to be shy, if you're naturally tempted to lose your temper, if you're naturally tempted to say certain words, if you're naturally tempted to become bitter, if you're naturally tempted to any area in your life, you're going to probably struggle the rest of your life. When those temptations come back, sometimes we get intimidated and we think, what in the world am I doing? I shouldn't have done that. No, you're probably having those attractions your entire life. It's choices that we make. The growth choice will set you free from those things. The Bible doesn't promise a temptation-free life. It promises a victorious life. which means the Bible in Galatians says, those who walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That doesn't mean that they don't have lust of the flesh. It means they don't fulfill it. I remember when I lived in Melbourne, and I wasn't in the ministry yet, but I was early on, maybe 4 or 5 years in my spiritual walk, and I had a lot of property in Melbourne, and I had a couple duplexes, and I always did my own repair work and my cleaning and so forth. I had some people help me. But this one day that I went down and I was cleaning out the house, and it was obviously the people that I had in there were doing drugs. And they got arrested and they drug them out of there. And all that crap was left behind. So I drug it all out into the garage and slowly started throwing it away. And in there was some pornography books. I said, oh man, I need to burn these things. One page, 2 pages. Then I sit down on a little stool and all of a sudden I realized I was filling my mind with stuff. That's how easy it is to get lured back into that kind of stuff. It's subtle, very subtle. And I said, Lord, give me the strength. And I gathered all that crap up and I put it in a box and I took it out in the backyard and I burned it. So how do you do that? Well, the fourth thing on your outline there is face what you're doing and forsake your failures. Because you're going to stumble in life. And the key is not to try to live a perfect life because we can't do it. Now, I don't cover them up, and I don't blame others, and I don't excuse myself. I try to own up to all of my failures. And I never met anybody who wanted to be unsuccessful. I know you said you wanted to be happy. Well, nobody here wanted to be unhappy. Is there anybody here that wants to be unsuccessful? I don't think so. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, people who cover over their sins will not prosper. You want to have a prosperous life? You want to be successful in life? There it is. People who cover over their sins will not prosper in life. Why? Because you got God on your side. And if you confess and forsake them, you will receive mercy. Don't cover them up. Confess them. It's easy. He already knows anyhow what you did. But if I'm in an argument like this young man was sharing that he got in an argument with somebody, and you blew it, just go to your friends and say, you know what, I was probably wrong a little bit and different things like that. And, you know, confess. Reconcile. That's spiritual growth. So I don't try to cover up things anymore. I confess them, although it's hard. It's hard. But things get better quicker. And you don't have to deal with relapses. You don't have to be ashamed. You just let go and reflect. Lord, I'm on the road to recovery. I'm on the road to development. And I want to keep short accounts with God. So how do you do that? We go on talking about small groups and different things, accountability partners and all that. And they're important. But the Bible says, let us examine our ways and let us test them and return to the Lord. Now, the Bible talks about the value of personal examination. And if you don't ever examine yourself, how are you going to grow? If you can't be honest with yourself and honest with God, who can you be honest with? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we examine ourselves, we will not be examined by God and judged in this way. God says either you can be judged yourself or I'll judge you. Huh? It's easier to judge yourself. God says if you get judged by your own sins and you own up to them right away and you don't have to cover them up, you just say, God, I stumbled again. I don't want to say these things to my kids. And I, you know what I mean? Well, you just got to admit to God. It's part of that growth process. Don't beat yourself up. Don't tear yourself down. You say, God, thank you. I'm not the way that I used to be. Little by little. Oh yeah, I dropped the ball. I got some things that I shouldn't have been doing. But I'm going to pick up the ball and I'm going to wind it up again. I'm going to pick up and I'm going to start over. I'm going to focus on the future, not the past. So So what does God do when I come to him with my relapses? He's going to say, come on, not that sin again. You were just here last week with that same sin. What's happening, Ralphie? I've already forgiven you 9,999 times. Now, he doesn't say that at all. God is love. He never gets tired of forgiveness. He's waiting on you, helping you to overcome these things. And in the Bible, in Psalm 103, it says, he forgives all my sin and heals all my diseases. He keeps me from the grave and blesses me with love and mercy. He never criticized me with judgment or scorn. He blesses me with love and mercy, and God gives me what I need, not what I deserve. So if you've been stumbling in these areas, take heart. Keep on going. Three more little steps. I'll try to make them go a little quicker. Number five, I have to flee temptation, but I don't have to fear temptation. You know, because a lot of times when you walk into a movie theater, you don't know what you're going to find in that movie. It might be whatever the rating are, that it's good for kids and so forth, and you think you're safe, and inevitably there's something in there that's not too cool. So don't flee from temptation, or flee from temptation, but don't fear it. There's going to be temptation out there in the world. So many people, when they get tempted, they get intimidated by it. Have you ever had a gross thought come through your mind? You wonder, where in the Sam Hill did that come from? Or maybe you were praying and all of a sudden some kind of gross thought come in your mind. You wonder, where in the world did that come from? And I tell you where it comes from. It comes from Satan, the god of this world. He's here. He's active. He's not all powerful like God, but he's here. When God gives you an idea, we call it an inspiration. Because you're inspired. When Satan gives you an idea, we call it temptation. So what do you do that determines whether it's good or bad or indifferent? I know where that one come from. Get out of here. What did Jesus say when he was tempted? Get thee behind me, Satan. It is written. Martin Luther, you don't talk about Martin Luther that much anymore these days, but he had a little saying that he said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. I like that. By the way, I want to explain that both men and women have differences. They have different lusts. They have different attractions. Attraction is not a sin. Lust is. It's normal for men and women to look at beauty and be attracted to beauty. It's not love, it's attraction. A lot of guys go around beating themselves up when they see a beautiful woman. It's an attraction. It's not love, lust. And if you have those same kind of things, congratulations, you're a man. If you're a woman and you think men are handsome or whatever, that's cool. Just don't get into the lust thing. God calls us to act on our commitments. It's not a sin to be tempted. The Bible says that we need to flee from it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be alert, continue, there it is again, strong in faith. Have courage, be strong, and circle that word alert. That means you need to know what tempts you and you need to stay away from it. The sixth thing is this. If I'm going to make it to the finish line, I'm going to grow continuously. And I must form an ongoing support system or group. Now, we don't have to cover a lot about this. You've heard me talk about small groups and all that kind of stuff. But one of the reasons, well, there's two reasons for a support group, is first prayer, and the second is encouragement. The Bible says we are confident that God will continue to rescue us. That means he's going to recover us. He's going to restore us. He's going to renew us. He's given us revival in our own life. It's the recovery verse. Do you have anybody praying for you? Last week, before I started, I felt as though I needed a prayer. And I know that Tina was a prayer warrior. I know that she's been to meetings when speakers will say, you know, would you pray for me? I needed that prayer last week. That's why I asked Tina to pray for me. I knew she would. Do you have anybody praying for you? It's one of the goals in my life that I want to keep on keeping on. I want to be consistent. And the last thing is this, Travis, would you, is to follow Christ to the finish line. One of the great promises of the Bible is in Philippians 1:6. I am sure, or the Amplified Bible says, I am certain, I am confident, I know for certain that God who began a good work within you will continue. And there's that word again, continue, until it's finally finished. Circle that word, finished. Travis is going to start playing our closing song. And I just want you to think about these things. I had so much stuff here, there's no way that I can cover it all in 45 minutes, let alone half hour or whatever. It's almost sort of like a seminar. But what he's saying is, what God starts, he finishes. Remember, he knew you when you were in the womb. He knew you before you were born. He knows you so well that he's got your name written in the palm of his hand. So if you ever get feeling a little discouraged, call upon the Lord. Open the Bible. Look at, if you got a Bible, just got some topical indexes in there. Whatever you're feeling, just look at that topical and it'll lead you to all kinds of scriptures. So don't get discouraged. Don't give up. God said he will reap a harvest of blessings upon you at the right time. God brought you here today in this church. He began a good work in you, and he will begin to make it a completion in the day of Jesus Christ. When I got sober 31 years ago, the only thing that I had to hang on to was a couple little scripture verses that I memorized. And I admire people that can memorize the whole Bible and, you know, doing it. I can't do it. But one of my seminary teachers, when we were studying the Book of Discipline in the Methodist Church, and all that is the Methodist Church law book. It's not a doctrine, it's a law book. And he held the book up, and we got together, and he said, y'all know what this book is? Yeah, that's the discipline. He said, I got good news and bad news. The good news is we're going to study this book from cover to cover. And the good news is I don't expect you to remember everything that's in here, but what I expect you to do when we're done is to know where to find it when you need it. That's what God's word is. So I pray that you know the Lord in a personal, loving way. And if you don't, it's a simple thing. You can just, Lord, I need you. It's as simple as that. Come into my life. But the grace and the love of Jesus Christ and the Father. And may the power of the Holy Spirit bless you this week as you seek to continue to live for him and take these steps. And may he bless you in every area of your life is my prayer for you.